It's 7:44. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. On this West Virginia morning, pandemic marketing turned to poetry.
The first lines of emails I've received while quarantining. In these uncertain times, as we navigate the new normal, are you willing to share your ideas and solutions? As you know, many people are struggling.
But first, two stories about communities coming together to help their neighbors. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. During the coronavirus pandemic, many people have returned to practices like baking, gardening, and sewing as a way to socially distance. Producing things at home is nothing new for West Virginia farmers. The Mountain State has 23,000 farms, and most are family-owned. Our Southern Coalfields reporter Caitlin Tan spoke with one farming family, leaning on their skill set, to provide for themselves and others during this pandemic.
Just outside Fayetteville, West Virginia, is Deep Mountain Farm, a 42-acre farm that has just about everything. Chickens, lambs, sheep, produce, dogs. In fact, a new litter of Great Pyrenees puppies, who will become guardian dogs for the sheep, were born the night before I spoke with Christine Wyrick. She owns and operates the farm with her husband, Chris Jackson, and their two young daughters.
Oh my gosh, they were born like in the middle of all that rain we got last night. I can't believe we have nine. We've never had such a big litter before, but they're all doing wonderfully.
Deep Mountain Farm is a regenerative farming operation, meaning they work the land with an eye toward improving and enriching the soil. Practices include everything from using cover crops rather than tilling the land, not using pesticides, and livestock grazing rotation. Christine says on a regular basis, they move the livestock to different pastures to give each area time to regrow. Christine and Chris have been operating the farm for 4 years now. They're able to live mostly off what they produce at this point. And although they have less help than usual because of the pandemic, the farm duties still go on as normal, like scooping feed in the barn. Christine says she and Chris both grew up in Kanawha County with limited knowledge on farming.
We've ended up crossing paths with really incredible people who are very enthusiastic about sharing everything they know. And that's just the only way this stuff's going to get preserved.
She says that's what's unique about farming in West Virginia. The rich traditions and knowledge of old farming practices and the willingness to share it with the younger generation. One practice Christine learned was how to grow a full garden, like one that a family can live off of and then some. And also how to can vegetables and fruit to eat in the off season, something that was common on early farms in Appalachia. And this year, Christine says they're growing a garden larger than ever before.
I had like 400 kale plants. They're old seeds. I was like, these won't come up. I'll plant way more than any. They all came up.
Their hope is to have leftover produce to sell to people who are trying to social distance and stay away from grocery stores. Also, they'd like to donate some to homeless shelters.
I always can with my grandma and my aunts and my mom comes out. I mean, like, we fill the house up with people and jars and pots of food boiling away. You know, like, and now it's just going to be me. So I won't be able to put up as much food as we usually do. So I feel obligated, almost, to make sure that the food ends up in the hands of people who really need it.
They also produce chicken, lamb, and cow meat, too. And nestled into the herd of meat cows is the family's one dairy cow. Christine says her girls love to pet the cow.
What a good cow. What a good cow.
Christine also makes 100% lard soap, sometimes with a splash of raw milk from the cow. She's a firm believer in using all parts of an animal.
I have probably like 150 pounds of fat in my freezer right now because people don't know what to do with it, which is a shame because it's really easy to render lard and then you don't need to buy any oils from the store and it's really good for you, like full of vitamin D. But anyways, I could go on forever about lard. It's great.
Another good use for lard is lots and lots of pies, Christine says. She says when the pandemic is less of a threat, she hopes to celebrate with a large cookout with fellow farmers and people who've been purchasing their goods, helping them keep afloat during these uncertain times.
It's a little painful to not, you know, really get to spend time and talk and catch up with people. So we're going to do something big when it's all over and we can all finally be around each other whenever that ends up being.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Caitlin Tan.
The coronavirus pandemic has changed how a lot of us go about our day. But for those without housing, basic hygiene tasks like washing one's hands, showering, and doing laundry have become even more difficult. In Wheeling, one group has installed a hygiene station under a city underpass to provide for those basic needs. Corey Nollinger recently spoke to Kate Marshall, the head of the HOH Share, about the hygiene station and how to keep those without housing from feeling hopeless during the pandemic.
Can you tell me a little bit about how the idea of the sanitation station came about and how you kind of saw that through?
Sure. As soon as the COVID crisis pandemic was really starting to show itself in our community, which was social services having to close their doors and only providing to-go services at soup kitchens, it very quickly became apparent that our homeless population was going to have absolutely no access to restrooms, hand washing stations, showers, and basic cleanliness. So we came together as homeless outreach workers and advocates to try to come up with a creative solution about how are we going to provide these essential facilities for our folks who were looking at living outdoors exclusively and indefinitely, yet needed these services.
This entire operation is volunteer run. Can you tell me the response that you've gotten on that side of things?
We honestly didn't know what kind of response we were going to get because, you know, we're asking folks to take a frontline community approach to addressing a pretty significant problem we had, which was we were totally unprepared of what to do with a homeless community during a pandemic or a crisis as we have. So we put it out there via word of mouth, Facebook, and we were pleasantly surprised at the amount of response that we received. And we've been able to maintain the hours of 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with a volunteer staff because of their response. Now, for our volunteer staff, we did provide training, and we have like ongoing assessments of what we're doing and how we're doing it. We have gloves and masks. We have protocols in place of how to sanitize porta potties after every use, how to sanitize the shower stalls between every use, as well as laundry procedures and personal PPE for our volunteers.
On the other side of things, tell me the response that this has gotten with those without housing.
The folks from our unhoused friends who are using the hygiene station and facilities has been overwhelming. The amount of thank yous and the sincerity in which they give them is almost heartbreaking because in the thank you, you also hear their understanding of how close they feel to being forgotten and that the hygiene station acts as more than a place to provide those necessary amenities to keep safe from the coronavirus. But it's also, I think, for some of our folks, the place where they know, like a visible sign that someone's remembering them and that they're not left out there alone.
How do we make sure that the homeless community doesn't think that we've forgotten them for next time?
Yeah, so that's one of our main goals on the other side of, you know, this pandemic is to put together a plan of action if this ever happens again. Right away, we'll know that we need restrooms. We know that we'll need hand washing stations. We know that we need a shower trailer. We know we need access to clothes. We know we need to make sure that food's getting to folks who not only access the soup kitchens on any other day, but like, God forbid, if someone has to quarantine into their tent because they're feeling ill, how does that food get from the soup kitchen to the tent? So to develop a basic protocol in a team of implementation that we won't be caught off guard as much as we were this time in scrambling, and while we got it together pretty quickly, to next time be able to do it quicker.
That was House of Hager Catholic Worker Facilitator and HOH Sharehead Kate Marshall. The 18th Street Hygiene Station is open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. For more information, check out our website at wvpublic.org. In the midst of the pandemic, Jessica Salfia, a creative writing teacher in the Eastern Panhandle, found herself needing an artistic outlet. She wrote a poem using a unique muse, her emails, and it struck a chord, going viral on Twitter. Reporter Eric Douglas spoke with Salfia over Zoom about the unexpected inspiration for her poem. Take a listen.
As quarantine began, we all started getting emails from every company who we'd ever given our email addresses, and most of the same things about how they cared about their customers and were looking after their employees. Most of us simply deleted those emails and moved on. But you wrote a poem based on those emails, using the first line from each one. Where did you get the idea to turn those first lines of emails into a poem?
I encourage my students to keep what we call a writer's notebook. And this is sort of an informal writing journal. And we do like some, we'll start a writing prompt in our writer's notebook, but also they're supposed to keep it and sort of capture writing in the wild when they feel inspired or when they see things that they want to imitate. And I always try to model for my students the kind of writing I want them to be doing in my classroom. And so I had my writer's notebook out. And as I was getting these emails, I noticed that language in my email inbox was changing. And so about 3-4 weeks ago, the language was very intense. Everyone was trying really hard to sound sincere. And I kept seeing these same phrases pop up over and over again. In these uncertain times, as you know, many people are struggling. We hope this finds you and your family safe. And it all started to sound very lyrical to me. So I just started keeping track. And then as we progressed further into the pandemic, I started seeing that language move away from true sincerity to marketing veiled as sincerity.
Poets and poetry often express what we're feeling or seeing. Why do you think your poem has been shared so much? I mean, it's resonating with people.
I think the reason the poem is resonating with so many people is because, like any other art, people can bring to it the thing that they need to bring to it or take away from it the thing that they need to take away from it. And so the reactions to it have been really diverse. Like, some people think it's hilarious and have sent me emails like, oh, this made me laugh out loud. Some people have found it strangely moving and sad and poignant. You know, I teach a unit on art as argument to my advanced placement language and composition students, and we focus mostly on visual art. And we talk a lot about how art is subjective and that audience really plays a role in how art is interpreted, and that's the goal of good art, is that the audience can bring to it the thing that they need to bring to it.
Will you go ahead and read the poem for me?
The first lines of emails I've received while quarantining. In these uncertain times, as we navigate the new normal, are you willing to share your ideas and solutions? As you know, many people are struggling. I know you're up against it, the digital landscape. We share your concerns. As you know, many people are struggling. We hope this note finds you and your family safe. We've never seen anything like this before. Here are 25 distance learning tips. As you know, many people are struggling. Feeling fiesta today? Happy Taco Tuesday. Calories don't count during a pandemic. Grocers report flour shortages as more people are baking than ever. As you know, many people are struggling. Count your blessings, share your blessings, get free curbside pickup or ship to your house. Chicken, lemon, artichokes. As you know, many people are struggling. How are you inspiring greatness today? We have a cure for your cabin fever. Pandemic dial-in town hall tonight. As you know, many people are struggling. Mother's Day looks a little different this year. You're invited to shop all jeans for 50% off. Yes, buy one, get one free. As you know, many people are struggling. Call us to discuss a loan extension without penalty. Act now, tell Congress charters should not line their pockets during the COVID crisis. Now shipping face masks as recommended by the CDC. As you know, many people are struggling. This is not normal.
That was Jessica Salfia reading her poem, First Lines of Emails I've Received While Quarantining. Salfia is a creative writing teacher in Martinsburg, West Virginia. This story is part of an occasional series of interviews with Appalachian writers. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day at our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Brittany Patterson produces our show. Our news director is Glennis Board. I'm Chuck Anzalevich.